know better than to listen to the people who are calling us names. I can feel the sunlight shining in.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Brian, and today is Wednesday, January 18th, 2023, and this is episode 288 of the Lots Project podcast. A daily look inside our journey to live outside the systems of control. And it's another coffee with Brian, another daily morning chat about what we got going on and what we got coming up and what's just kind of on my mind at the moment. And I think my episode numbering's all fucked up or something. What are you looking at? She's over there, like bent over, like kind of crouching, looking at my screen. I'm like, what are you looking at? What's over there? What can we see? Oh, just scratching her back. Oh, man. I think my episode numbers are all messed up, and I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go back and start counting one by one from a known good starting point and see if it is. But today we're going to talk about that propane issue I had, an after-action report on that, societal norms and some issues they may cause. And cemetery visit today, and we'll start off this morning with my crazy wife, who's sitting next to me with a, what is that, wool? Acrylic wool, basically fake wool. Hold on one second, I gotta get this ladybug off my microphone. Little bastards. You ever see those little ladybugs? They're everywhere. When it gets hot, they come out. It gets sunny. When it gets sunny and hot in the cold, they come out and they love to invade every space in the world. And yeah, I hate them. But anyway, my beautiful wife is sitting next to me this morning. It is currently 70 degrees in the camper. Super humid. It's getting ready to getting. You seriously can hear it crawling across the top of the microphone. Serious. So she's sitting here. It's 70 degrees in the camper. It is humid, stuffy. Oh man, it's gonna be warm. It's supposed to storm. It's supposed to thunderstorm. So you know that really just nasty air before a storm. And we're kind of enclosed in the camper, so there's not a whole lot of breeze. Like when the breeze blows through the window, you're like, oh yeah. I got fans going and stuff, and I look over and she's got like 18 pounds of acrylic wool blanket sitting on her lap crocheting, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, I know you're chilly and all, and you gotta get that blanket together here before you freeze, but man, I don't know. I like, how are you not sweating? And oh man, there's something. My wife is something, guys. I tell you, love her to death, but crazier than a loon. You guys probably don't even know what a loon is, unless you're from the Great White North. But anyway, she's sitting over here, crazy crochet lady. She has made tons and tons and tons of blankets. She has made me blankets. She made me foot blanket. I don't know if I told you guys that. I think I did earlier when it was getting cold here, and we were barefoot. When we sit in the slide, so our office is in the slide out of the camper. Office, kitchen, living room, pretty much everything. But we sit here quite a bit, and we sit facing the windows, which means my feet sit out on the slide. And I don't know if you've ever had a camper, been in a camper, or experienced this phenomena, but with the slide out, there's no real insulation under the slide. And so when it's cold, the cold just permeates through the floor. And I know that this is probably the majority of the reason why the dogs like to lay on the slide. That and the fact that I put the hardwood, the laminate flooring, plank flooring in there, which also stays nice and cool as opposed to carpet. I get why they want to lay on it. But my feet were frozen. And I mean, yeah. So I didn't know what was going on. So Corey at the time was making these baby blankets. Hey, if you want a baby blanket, let me know. I'm sure I could talk her into spinning one of them babies up for a certain price. But anyway, she was making these baby blankets, and I looked over and I was like, man, that's like a little mini foot blanket just for my feet. I put it on the ground, and it's long enough that I could just fold it, over my feet. So so it was that padding that underneath and keeps the keeps that barrier between your feet and the cold floor. But then if they were a little chilly on top, then you could flip it over on top. So she made me two. I think she made herself one and me one, and then she didn't like hers, so I inherited it. Anyway, she's a crocheting. She's been crocheting, what, for 20 plus years? 20 plus years she's been doing that. We got a video on the YouTube channel that has slow motion, step-by-step, the motions you have to do and how to crochet. The one stitch she does. You're a one-stitch bitch, right? Oh, she does a couple. She does a couple. I think that's like a slang term in the crochet world. Like you go to quilting conferences and creators are all like hanging out, and when they throw shade at each other, they're like, "Yo, you're just a one stitch bitch." And yeah, because that's just how it is in those worlds. It's a rough and tumble world if you've never been in it. Some of those quilting patches are high value, and it gets pretty fucking cutthroat at those conferences. Josh says he calls those socks. Foot blanket, socks. I mean, we all call these things different items. Oh. I call my wife a one-stitch bitch. Welcome to the Lots Project Podcast, where you drink coffee out of Toolman Tim's ceramic mug. I don't think these... I think these are unavailable anymore. I think Tim said he was selling his last one. I don't know if they're still available on his shop, but what a quality coffee mug. I don't know if it's ceramic or metal with a coating on it, but... I've been impressed. It's got this nice little lip on it. You know, like a normal coffee mug. It's kind of straight up. And this lip, I don't know. So as I'm doing research into maybe mugs that I'll order, I'm going to look into that. A normal coffee mug is fine. I just have noticed this lip that, I don't know if you can see it. Riveting audio for the audio folks. But anyway, yeah, just having some GSD blend this morning and hanging out with my beautiful bride. It's supposed to be nasty this morning. Nasty, humid, yucky thunderstorms. Hopefully they roll out as far as the weather forecast is concerned. It's supposed to roll out mid-morning, late morning. It's supposed to be nice this afternoon. And I think I need to head out to another cemetery. Oh, thanks, Josh. Josh says that the lip on the coffee mug is for people with big lips. I derive most of my power from these big, luscious lips. Anyway, I got to head out to a cemetery and get some more photos, videos of headstones, and hopefully, depending on the weather and how things are going and the timeline, clean up another one. That would be good. First one I clean didn't turn out the way I wanted. I think I really picked the wrong stone to make it worth it. I am going to go back by and see what it looks like now. The biological agent is like a secret agent. It continues to work after you're done. It kind of permeates into the stone. It keeps cleaning, so it keeps eating away the dirt, the grime, the lichen, the moss, the algae, whatever, after. And as the sun hits it and the rain hits it, it will continue to whiten and brighten the stones. So I'd be curious what it looks like today, but I don't know if I'm going to go back to that same one today. I've been there, it was like the last three times in a row. I just branch out, go to a different one, and then at some point it's right in downtown where we're staying here, and I'll swing by and I'll take a look. I know right where it is, and I'll go take a look and see what the long-term effects was. But I didn't have the time. By the time I found the one I wanted to clean, and this is the issue I'm running into, and I've been talking about this with others on TikTok that clean headstones, is how do you pick one? And the majority of the people I'm talking to are in one spot. They're stationary. So they're going to the same cemetery day after day after day after day. One said that she has permission at a certain cemetery, and she is literally on a mission to clean every headstone in it. She goes, and one by one, she's making her way through. Other people have a certain number within certain areas. They have contracted with them to clean certain sections. It's a viable business. I've never looked at it like that. I've looked at it more for the intrigue that I get, for the feeling I get for doing something like that, and the way I feel when I'm done in the cemetery after spending time there, especially barefoot. The times I can spend the majority of the time barefoot, I just feel different when I'm done. When I've spent a half hour there, I don't know, it's just different. I do it for personal reasons, and I'm documenting it. Through documenting it, there's a whole genre of people out there that want to see it, so it kind of turns into that. But from what I understand, there are not necessarily for us as we're traveling around, but if you're stationary, you can really just talk to a cemetery, you can talk to a funeral home, you can talk to people, and there's pay in it. There's there's business models around doing this maintenance. So, I mean, that's interesting. So it's hard to get a good relevant answer when people's intentions are different. So, I'm still searching. As I walk around, I think one guy put it right. The put it best, and he's like, you'll just know, you'll see it, and it'll just be the one that you need to do that day. I'm on a timeline, guys. I don't know. I'm just trying to pick one. I'm trying to pick one that I'm confident in not damaging or doing anything wrong, or whatever. There isn't much that can happen. I've been reassured over and over again that the stuff I'm using is very safe. It's natural. Like I said, it's just a natural enzyme and things. It can't really do a whole lot, as long as it's not crumbling to where the brushing of it will deface it, or it's cracked or wobbly where you can like knock it over. There's not much you can do as far as hurting the stone itself. So that's good. I just need to keep hearing that, and then eventually after I do a few and I'm like, okay, well, I picked this type and this type of stone and this type of condition, and it worked really well and it was worth the time. And that's another thing that I'm worried about when I'm doing this, is it takes a significant amount of time. And you get it wet, and you kind of brush it down, you spray it down with the cleaner, and then you're supposed to let it sit for anywhere from a half an hour to an hour. That's a long time to hang out at the cemetery. I'm pushing to if I get a few more followers on TikTok there on that account, I'll actually be able to go to live, and that's I think what I'm going to plan on doing, is prep the stone, get it ready, and then go live on TikTok and kind of walk around while I'm waiting and chat with people or whatever. Because I was very surprised the size of the community that is revolved around cemeteries. I would have never guessed. So just kind of exploring the cemetery live and chatting with whoever's hanging out watching. So that's kind of my goal. At the moment, I can't do that. So I think, I'll find one today and hopefully spray it down. We'll depend on the timing actually, and what time I got to get back here. Oh wait, I don't have to get back here for really anything other than hanging out with my beautiful bride, which is the most important thing in my life. But I'll free it up in the evenings, so maybe I can stay a little later. It does get dark here around 5:30, so depending on what time the storm's done today. it's just going to be a play it by ear. So maybe more documenting today, maybe a little bit of cleaning. We will see. We will see. But that is definitely on the docket if I can get there, if the weather will cooperate. Now, our weather app is rarely correct. So I'm guessing it's going to be sunny and gorgeous until like noon, and then thunderstorms are going to roll in. And it's going to roll till it's going to storm till dark. That's about as opposite of what it says right now. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, propane. That was a subject yesterday morning when I woke up, and we had made it through the night with the propane and the power on like a super budget. We had run out of propane, and that's not what is supposed to happen. So I kind of looked at the whole situation. I discussed it a little bit yesterday morning. We did make it long enough to so I could do my interview. Corey could start work, and I was able to go and get all our propane filled. I actually went and burned off every tank we had on the generator just to get them all empty and get them all full after that. What happened? We ran out of propane is what happened. why did it happen? I think a lot of things kind of added up together to be a bad situation, and I guess it's not that bad. We did have backup gasoline if need be. We also had ways to heat water if we wanted our coffee. Corey was laughing last night. She's like, so I was laying there the night before when the generator kicked off, and you were saying that maybe we're gonna have to take the house propane and put it on the generator, and we might not have any propane for the house in the morning until you go get it. And all she could think is, if I don't get my tea and you don't get your coffee, it is going to be a really, really shitty morning. And I agree with her, but I did, I did have a backup plan for that. I got some stuff in the mail, from Amazon for my coffee project that I'm putting together, a bunch of equipment, a bunch of brewers, and an alternative heat source is one of the things in there. So I picked up some Jetboil, a little Jetboil burner, and some extra cans to do one of my videos and one of the promotions, and to have for us. That was the cool part about the two of the items is it was something that I had been looking at, one for redundancy for us, or a quick little burner if we wanted to set it up outside depending on what situation we're at. So emergency heat, and I don't know if you've ever seen Jetboil. It's just like a little storable butane. I think it's butane actually instead of propane, but butane burner comes with a little can. It sets up, and then you just set your little pot on top of it. So I was prepared for the morning to not have any propane and to be able to get us our tea and coffee. I didn't want to say anything because I still want to do an unboxing on it because it's a cool little thing. The package it comes in with the burner and the first can is a cool little package. So I was looking forward to putting that on video and getting that up on YouTube. But if needed be, I was going to open it up to get my wife her tea and more me my coffee. But by proxy, she gets her tea. That means I love her. So, why did we run out of propane? I think it just got in. We got complacent. I got complacent for sure. From sitting here, we've been here what now? Two and a half months. when you're moving all the time and you're loading and unloading the truck, you're constantly picking up the tanks. You're constantly evaluating, where am I stopping for gas? Where am I stopping for propane? Where am I stopping for water? Where am I getting this? Now that we're parked, where can I go get this when we need it? When we're leaving here, where are we heading? Will we have these things? Will we be able to get these things? Where can we stop on the way to pick them up? More efficiency? Should we take the truck and go run and get all this stuff before we hook up the camper? This is constantly going on in my head, especially if we're only staying for a week. By the time we get there, if I haven't already determined where we're going, that is the first thing we do pretty much after we get where we're at, if we're only staying for a couple days or a week. And then my planning starts on the route, how we're going to get there, and how we're going to obtain everything we need. Well, we're here. I have two sources for propane. Well, I have more than that, but two that I've regularly used one and switched to the other. And if one happened to be closed, I could go to the other. Water I have right here. Electricity, I have the generator. I have the solar panels. I'm not searching for anything. I'm not having to actively think about how much propane do I have left? Where can I pick it up? Is my 20 gone? Because if my 20's gone, I can exchange that at a Home Depot, even though I don't want to, because it's a ripoff. If I have to go to Home Depot or Walmart or a gas station in the middle of the night to get propane, I can take that 20 and exchange it. And it's one of the reasons I've kept instead of going to all 30 pounders, because I can always exchange it. I don't have to buy a new one. I don't have to fuck around with that. I can take that empty tank. I can slam it in there and grab that next one. I don't prefer to do that. Obviously, I would like to get them filled at like an LP place, and it's cheaper and it's a better job and it's actually full. But I wasn't constantly monitoring and thinking and rotating. Another thing that happened is I think I ran, now that I went back, I sat down and kind of went over the last few weeks. I ran the generator for one top off of the batteries with the 20-pound tank. We used the generator for a few days in a row, and then we didn't use it for several days in a row after that because it was sunny and cooler and nice. And so I used the – so this was over New Year's. So this has been a long time spinning out. We haven't used a whole lot of propane over the last few weeks. On New Year's, I cooked on our Coleman grill outside. I grabbed that 20-pounder off the generator because I didn't want to tap into a brand new 30-pounder. And I brought it over and I ran the grill off it. I ran the grill off it that day. I ran the grill off a couple more days. And then I put the grill away and I set the tank next to the camper. Well, I think when the 30-pounder was running low, when I knew I was going to have to put another one on, I thought the 20-pounder was full. It was obviously half or less. So I threw it on the generator the one morning. I had it sitting out there. I flopped over the regulator onto that. I started it. I went off to Josh's. This was Monday. Corey didn't think twice about the fact that it ran out. She assumed that I had known what was going on with the level. I assumed that she had turned it off, that it had filled the battery. She turned it off. I assumed there was more propane in that because it should run for more than like the 4 hours that it did that morning. I didn't know that. I was like, okay, well, we have a full tank on the front on the house. We have the full and the one that is currently being used, because I don't know, in the camper you have the two tanks in the front, we have two 30 pounders that we put in front. Well, come to find out, we had been using such little. We don't use the propane furnace. We basically, what we use the propane for on the camper is the refrigerator and heating, cooking the stove, making tea and cooking dinner and lunch. And so very little, very little. It doesn't take very much propane to run a burner. And the fridge is so cold and we keep it so full that I don't think it runs very often. So it takes quite a while for that tank to go through 30 pounds on the front. It had been so long that I had forgot that we had switched. Normally when I switch it, or if Corey switches it and tells me, I take that empty tank off immediately and set it by the truck or set it by the camper so I know to get it in the next. We have so long that it doesn't have to be that day. It can be the next going to town or whenever it's convenient. Somehow that didn't happen. Somehow it got switched, and whether it was in the middle of the night or it was cold or whatever reason, somehow it didn't get taken off the stand and put there to get filled. So I went to grab the full one off the front. It was empty. I looked at the tank that was on the house, running the fridge and the stove, and it was pretty much empty. Like, I was surprised that it was still running. So we were out of propane. We were out. And I think it was just a culmination of complacency, happenstance, change in routine, and yeah, can't let it happen again. I was glad that we were here. We would have made it work. If the power was going to go out, I easily could have grabbed a gas can from the back of the truck and dumped it in there and got enough power to make it down to fill the tanks and come back. Didn't have to. We have buffers set up for situations like that. There's buffers. Like we had plenty of power. Had a couple hours at least a couple hours, because our solar array, even when it's cloudy, we bring in something. Even when it's really dark and overcast, like maybe not today with thunderstorms rolling in, but on an overcast day where you don't see the sun and you're like, oh my god, solar panels aren't working, we're still bringing in, I don't know, 7-8 amps, amp hours coming in, enough to run fans and everything. I think when I took off to go get the propane filled yesterday, it was pretty overcast and cloudy, and we were even, and we had a bunch of fans on. Or no, we had fans off in the morning. We were conserving. Yeah, I mean, it really depends on how thick the clouds are, but we still get power in the clouds. So we can go on austerity. We can go on batteries, laptop batteries, and running things off of alternative power sources or fuels and make it work. But I don't want to. So, yeah, just an easy reminder. Got lucky that nothing happened, and now we can go forward and make sure it doesn't happen again. So went and got them all filled. That doesn't happen very often. I think it happened when we were still in Minnesota before we were taken off. We took all the tanks and made sure they were all full. I think other than that, it just doesn't happen because we're always using one. We're always using at least one. And with 330s and a 20, I'm always taking the ones that are empty before there's multiple empty. So yeah, that's one thing that happened that, hopefully never happens again. I don't want to have to fill them all at once again. That was, it was expensive, and it was because of error, and that's not how I want to do it. So anyway, that's kind of the propane after action report. What I sat down and contemplated it after, and really went through the situation and figured out why, what broke down and why. We had a similar situation with the water the other day. Water right now is a mess. We have such easy access to it that we don't need to conserve, and it's more comfortable. I will definitely admit it's more comfortable for me, Corey, and the dogs when we're not. I shouldn't say we're not conserving water. We have, like, us not conserving water, you would think that you would probably die with how much water we use in a day when we're not conserving water. When we go on water, like if we were out in some BLM land and we had to drive 40 miles to get water or something, water conservation. Yeah. Let's see how little you can use, healthy. Water's life, but you got to do what you got to do. Josh says we're lining Hank Hill's pockets. Yeah, I was sitting here thinking about the question of the day this morning, and Corey's like, well, what are you talking about? I was like, oh, propane. He's like, oh, maybe you should ask people if they use propane and propane accessories. I was like, no. Oh, man. So yeah, water's kind of all messed up, so we're gonna have to get back in the routine of our water. The dogs make it so hard with the water to conserve and get a good estimate. You know, we fill their bowls and they slobber back into them. I've talked about this on end, about the egg white slobbers. They won't drink it after a while because the bowl is more slobber than water. We have to dump it out. We waste a ton of water because of this. The water left in the bowl, the water we need to use to rinse out the bowl, then refill the bowl, and then they do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So, yeah, it's definitely a consideration we have to remember with our water supplies and what we do. So, and we filter all their water through the Berkey too. So, yeah, that takes a while. It takes a while. Oh, Josh doing his spin while he's watching the show, posting the video up in the group. Hey, nice spin today, Josh. Is that a double 250? Oh, no, just a card holder bonus. Oh, I was going to say a double 250 would be nice, but fold card. If you guys don't have the fold card and don't know what I'm talking about, head on down into the video notes or the audio description or whatever forum. There are notes down there. There is a link to join my spin squad. Pick yourself up 50,000 Satoshis. Hit that link and sign up. Order the card. If you never use it, who cares? Who cares? You got a wallet with 50,000 Satoshis. Then daily you can go in and spin the thing. Eventually you'll have enough to withdraw it. Or use the card. Earn some Satoshis on everyday purchases. Earn some Bitcoin on everyday purchases. How? I mean, that's just stupid simple. And guess what? You can use it on YouTube. You can use it to send super chats and super thanks and super stickers or whatever they're called. Yeah, it's amazing. You get spins on hooking up. Oh, Josh said he got a double 250 on his last 7 day. Yeah, I think I did too. That's always nice. That's always nice when you can get five or 500 on that one day. But anyway, yeah, sign up for Fold. It's down in the video description and the audio notes. If you haven't started using it, if you have questions about it, feel free to reach out and talk to me or pretty much anybody that uses it, and they will tell you. They will tell you you need to. I am right on the precipice of going over 2 million Satoshi rewards earned since September. Right now, I can pull up the app, and it conveniently tells you how much in current dollar value you've earned. Price $21,403. I have earned in rewards 1,942,397 Satoshis for a grand total so far of $417 in rewards in four and a half months. I'll take $100 in Bitcoin going into my wallet just for buying gas and groceries and Amazon purchases and things like that. And I'm getting better at using it. I'm figuring out the ways to maximize it. I started paying for my coffee with my Fold card and getting Satoshis back on my monthly coffee purchase. I have a couple of monthly payments. There are just standard monthly payments, personal loan payment. I'm going to start trying to see if I can pay that with my Fold card. So every month I'm getting Satoshis back on something I have to pay. Figure out that way to pay the cell phone bill. Figure out that way to pay the insurance company. Figure out that way. Hey, Josh, $2. $2. Is that a super chat, I would say? Because it came with a chat. $2 super chat, and he's going to get some spins. I'm curious to see what he gets. But here's a strategy for you. Here's a strategy for you, other than those ones for the big time. You get to the end of the night. You got a little full balance. You keep buffered in there. You get to the end of the night. You go on YouTube and you start watching videos. You see a video you like. You see that little dollar sign down underneath. Use Fold as your funding source. And you send a tip. You send a dollar. You send a dollar. And you got some extra spins. You spin that. And holy shit, you get your purchase history from the last 7 days, I think, is one of the prizes on the wheel. Or you get a 10%. So you got 10 cents in Bitcoin. Well, it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you're doing that consistently, it adds up. If you have the extra spins, if you want to take the chance at the spin, you spend the dollar, you take the chance, you could win a Bitcoin. I mean, there is it's very rare. And I think they give away one a month for all the users across the board, but there's also 100,000 Satoshis. How would you like to spend a dollar on a super chat watching a creator you like? You gave them the dollar. I mean, it's the least efficient method for for value for value for a content creator, with YouTube taking their slice out of it. But you spend a dollar, you spin the wheel, you win a Bitcoin. You spin the wheel, you win 100,000 Satoshis. You spin the wheel, you get 1% back. I mean, shit, whatever. It's 1 cent in Satoshis. Big deal. But Josh says it does have a pending delay sometimes on the super chats, but it'll let me spin after a bit. Yeah, but here's the deal. You get a spin regardless. Just one. And if it's early enough in the night, I don't know what the delay is. Is it hours? Is it days? You can just take that one spin, or if you have extra, for some reason you did a couple purchases. I know when you make multiple purchases in a day, I don't know if it's for spin plus or regular. If you make like 3 purchases in a day or 5 purchases in a day, you get bonus spins, extra bonus spins, I guess. So there's ways you can play with it if you're going to be doing that anyway. I know the ecosystem is there on YouTube. So I don't know. I started doing it. It's pretty interesting. It's interesting. It's an interesting way to use up some extra spins if you have them. Because sometimes you make a big purchase and you take that first extra spin, or even the spin that comes with the purchase, and you hit what you want. You hit a 3% on a couple $100 purchase, and you don't want to use those spins. Well, I don't want to go out to the store and go buy a soda or something like that to use up my spins. And so this is a convenient way. I don't know, just throwing it out there. Josh says it's usually not more than an hour or so. Not sure exactly how long. I just check back later and it always gets a spin. Yeah. So, I mean, sorry, not before you're laying, not when you're laying in bed. If you want to do it for the day, do it in the evening and before you go to bed, do all your super chat spins and see what you do. I mean, that would be cool. I would really like to drop a super chat to somebody and take that spin and get 100,000 Satoshis and come back to that creator and drop them 10,000 Satoshis. Cause hey dude, cool. I mean, that would be fun to do. That'd be a cool little story. Oh man. Well, I had something on the list here and I want to kind of hit it because it revolves around the question of the day, but I've been seeing a pattern come along, and I knew it. I mean, it's been there. I've known this for a long time, but recently I've done, Josh says it's like being able to get value back on my value for value. Yes, sir. So I've been doing these interviews on Podmatch. Totally blown away. The guests are fantastic. The topics are fantastic. Had two yesterday. Two very interesting women yesterday that I interviewed, one on plant intelligence and one on trauma and stress and anxiety and things like that. Well, they're not mainstream. I mean, my show, Living Outside the System, it attracts different, it attracts the alternative. It attracts the people that are outside the norm. And one thing I've really noticed along the way, and this has been over these last two interviews and the interviews before and my personal experience across the way, hey, Pippinized, how you doing? You got $120,000 in sats back? Holy shit. Or is that 120,000 sats? Holy shit, man. If you got 120,000, that's like 6 Bitcoin. Holy shit, dude. How much gas do you buy? I know. It's 120,000 sats. Yeah, it starts adding up quick, man. If you get into the Amazon gift cards and stuff like that, you can really roll money. I knew what you meant. I'm just busting balls a little bit. But anyway, this reoccurring theme's been coming out when these in my interviews, and I noticed it. And then yesterday, I really I started mentioning it because it's really obvious. The norms out there, and I used this example when I was talking to one of the women yesterday, was kind of like the history we've been taught. We're challenging norms. We're finding physical evidence of history before what we've been told was the beginning of something. We're finding physical proof. We're finding empirical proof. We're finding suggestion, things that are alluding to different things. But they're all challenging what is the status quo, what is we've been taught. This is it. We know for sure this is what's happened. Even with evidence in their face, physical evidence or whatever evidence someone can come up with, it's hard for people to accept it. I've been taught this my whole life, that the Indians founded America. I mean, this is stupid, but Indians founded America. There's nothing. It was just wild wilderness before that. There were no civilizations, and now they're like unearthing civilization in North America long before that. And people just can't grasp it. They can't accept it, whatever. It's cognitive dissonance is one way to describe it. But I've really seen this parallel along all these things that I've been talking to these people about, the alternatives. You see it in cryptocurrency, but even more fringe in the alternative health space. When someone is researching something, first, they're absolutely nuts. People think they're absolutely nuts. They are able to look into it further. They're able to show you proof. They're able to do things with you. They're able to prove things to you. Yet the mainstream will not accept it. They will not accept what you're bringing to them, even though you have proof. Getting over that societal norm and that conditioning is so hard as you road of exploring something that you know is true, that you believe is true, and you can prove to yourself it's true, you can prove to others it's true, but they will not accept it. So I just noticed this pattern that these people are very strong, they're very strong-willed, they're very dedicated because they have to overcome this beyond doing innovative research on different topics. So it's like this is hard enough for me to figure this all out. And now I got to convince all these fucking people that won't believe me, even though I have the papers in front of me showing, look, you do A and B happens. So that means it happens. No, it doesn't, because I was told that when you do B, there nothing happens. Like, wait, come on. And I'm sure I'm guilty of it myself, too. I'm sure I'm guilty of myself, but I've really tried as I've started exploring all these alternatives, not necessarily in the last month with interviews, but over the last 7, 8 years, 9 years, as we exited the health system and that all the other systems, the food system and the monetary system, and trying to break free of all of those, I've experienced. I can't believe that. But I've really tried to open my mind to, when I say I can't believe that, to tell me more so I can make a decision, not instantly I can't believe it. So I think it's an admirable feat for these people to break through with these new ideas when everyone is so closed off to that it's not a possibility. So that's not kind of all I had to say about that, but it kind of leads into my question of the day. I'll get to that after the item of the day. Now move to the end of the show. Item of the day today is the Skinner 2.0 barefoot shoe socks. I'm not sure how it's listed, but basically they are slip-on, I would guess they were like nylon or some synthetic material, sock, stretchy, wide, but they have a coating on the bottom. So basically you have socks on that you can go walk around in prickly stuff or sharp stuff, stones, stuff that's going to hurt your feet. Hey, Diggs, by the way, how you doing this morning? Hope everything's good going up over on Twitch there. Glad you could join us. Yeah, the Skinner 2.0 shoe socks is... Leonard Skinner brand. No, Skinner 2.0s. I like them. They are a pull-on. I don't know how long they're going to last. We just got them. We just got them. They are comfortable to wear. They pick up. We are in sand heaven here where we walk. They do pick up sand. Sand sticks to them. It does make a little bit of a mess. I'm curious how they would be in a more in a different soil type and soil environment long term. But that's the one thing I have about them is they do pick up and hold sand like nobody's business. Other than that, I've really liked them. Corey has really liked them. For just throwing on and going out, they look decent and they work. So if you're interested in getting a pair of those, you don't have to be barefoot all the time, but maybe just a little bit. They're not going to help you with grounding. They're not going to help you with earth contact, but they're going to protect your feet if you want to go for a barefoot walk and let your feet spread out and really get stretched out and start to feel the benefits of barefoot walking. So check out Skinner 2.0's. Link for the Amazon listing is in the video description, in the audio notes. I appreciate you using that link, even if you don't want to pick those up. If you got to do some shopping today, hit that link, and it benefits us. I do thank you. And the question of the day kind of goes to that societal norms. I know this isn't a new thing. This has been going on all through history, but I'm curious. 2023, that's this year, right? I finally figured out what year it was. For a long time, my resolution list said 2024. At one point I think I said it was 2021. I don't know. I'm finally come into this year, but I'm wondering, would you rather live in 2023 or 1823? Now, if you lived in 1823, you wouldn't know anything about 2023. You'd be immersed in that society. Would you like it better or would you like it worse? Do you even know? Do you even know what was going on in 1823 where you're at? I don't know. I just found out this morning that the land that that I'm sitting on right now was granted to a gentleman by the Mexican government in 1823. So would you rather live in 1823? Or would you rather live in 2023? And why? That's the question of the day. I don't see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Took you 3 weeks to get here. How that goes. And going a little different route with the question of the day. You can find it in the Telegram chat. That's t.me/lotschat. t.me/lotschat. I've also been throwing it up on TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And I think I got to try to get it on Facebook. But yes, every day, question of the day. Check it out. t.me/lotschat or any of our other social medias. With that, I got to wrap it up. We're pushing 50 minutes here, and I got to get going so Corey can get to work. And I got a bunch of stuff to do and hopefully go get some documentation of some cemeteries this morning after the weather rolls through. But anyway, sign up for that 1,000 subscriber giveaway over at thelotsproject.com. Just drop your email address in, and next Monday we are giving away a ton of stuff. Kevin Palmieri interview coming up Thursday night. Premiere will be at 6 o'clock Sunday night, or Thursday night, excuse me, 6 Central. I'll be hanging out in the chat, hopefully, if I'm around. I believe I will be. So that will be cool. Kevin was a great interview, a super high energy guy that does a ton of podcasting. So great interview. You're going to want to check it out. Other than that, guys, you can always look for me at thelotsproject.com on Twitch, Telegram, YouTube, Odyssey, Rumble, Gab, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Fountain.fm, and all the other podcast 2.0 value for value exchange podcast players. It's hump day, guys. It's Wednesday. Get over that hump, and we will talk to you tomorrow.